Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Good day, everybody, and welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary podcast, Never Too Late. I'm so pleased to have you listening to us again today, and I want to thank you right at the beginning for the very kind way in which you respond to these podcasts and the way in which you support materially and in prayer this great seminary for mature and older candidates to the priesthood. I'm delighted today to be able to welcome Deacon Luis Marquez, who is from the Great Diocese of Brooklyn. He is in his fourth year of theology and, please God, will be ordained a priest of the Diocese of Brooklyn next spring. So, Luis, it's great to welcome you here. Thanks for being present with me.
Thank you so much, Monsignor. I am very happy to be here and share my vocation experience.
Good. When did you realize, Luis, that you had a vocation to the priesthood? Was it something that you thought about as a young man, a young boy? Was it something that came later? Was there something that happened that had you all of a sudden look at it? Where did the vocation come from, do you think?
I think when I was around 6-7 years old, because my father was a seminarian when he was young. He used to study for the Jesuits in Colombia.
Oh, no kidding.
And he had a lot of experience in seminaries, and he was a good preacher.
Yeah.
And he taught me everything about the Catholic faith, about Jesus, the saints, and everything. Then
that's great.
I can consider that I had a vocation since I was 6-7 years old.
Interesting. But you didn't act on it right away. A lot of men, now I had a vocation as a young boy, and then in high school, it fell away until someone reminded me that I would be a good priest. But I went in right after high school. You obviously didn't do that. What got delayed?
I think the first step in the vocation was when I went to serve in my home parish in Medellin. I discovered that I had really the vocation. And my parents support me and sent me to study to a high school seminary in Medellin.
Uh-huh.
And I was very happy to be there, but we had to travel to United States. Then I had to stop my studies there and came to this country.
Good for you. Yeah. So you stopped your studies in the seminary in Medellin. And by the way, I should have mentioned that Deacon Luis is from Colombia, beautiful country in Latin America. But you interrupted your studies and came here. And how long was it before you were able to get back to doing studies for the priesthood?
When I came here, I continued my studies in high school. Mm-hmm. And I contacted the director of vocations in Newark, New Jersey. They told me I had to finish my high school, and then I could join them. And I did so.
Good
and I
you.
Had my first experience in the seminary in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
But as you know, the Catholic Church is very different in Colombia than here.
Yeah.
I can consider the church in Colombia is alive.
Yeah.
Full of people, a lot of different young groups.
Mm-hmm.
Then I found another experience here.
Yeah.
Then I considered that at the moment that it was not for me the preschool.
Yeah. So because it didn't have the kind of cultural grip on society, it didn't seem as attractive here.
Yes.
As it did.
It was so different.
But nonetheless, God still had this seed in you, huh? And he was going to get you.
Yeah.
So what did you do in the meantime when you went to work?
When I finished my high school, I was starting to become a Spanish teacher. One day when Pope Benedict came to the United States,
yeah.
I went to visit the Junker Seminary. Then he was going to have a meeting with young people from the different dioceses in New York. And I went with my youth group from the parish.
The youth group, yeah.
Yeah. It called me the attention, the place, the seminary, and I found different priests from New York. And I say, oh, it's a beautiful place. Then I had the privilege to talk with the director of vocations from New York. After that event with the Pope, I went back to the seminary. I started the process to join the seminar, the Diocese of New York.
The Archdiocese of New York, and that made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
That's good. What year did you go back to the seminary, Luis?
That experience was in 2008.
Okay.
And after 2 years, I left formation because I considered finally that I thought that the priestly vocation was not for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I returned to the formation to continue studying to become a Spanish teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you did that for a while. And then the Lord reached in again. And you came, you're now in your fourth year. So you came back. But what was it that had you come back? Why did you do that?
I had an interesting experience when I was finishing my college diploma.
Yeah.
Because I used to work in the library. And one day I was putting away books and I saw a lady that was crying. And I approached to her and she explained me that she was going to get an abortion.
Oh.
And she had the appointment 2 days later. But she was scared because the parents was not supporting her to have the baby. And I tried to explain her that one day the baby was going to call her mom. And I tried to advise her in the best way possible. And it was a beautiful experience for me. And after 3-4 months later, I saw her in a class. And she was carrying the baby. Then it was very emotional for me to see that she followed my advice.
Yeah. And what a beautiful thing. In that moment when you gave her that advice, the Lord was really present in you, wasn't he, helping you? And it strikes me that experience confirmed for you that maybe you should be in this life and be doing just
then
those
it
kinds
was,
of things.
Yeah. It was the first time that I considered, why not to consider again the priestly vocation.
Yeah. Good for you. What a wonderful thing that was, and the advice that you gave. And that little child is alive today.
Oh, yes.
Because you had a chance to talk. Did you ever get to know the woman well enough to know that the baby's growing up well?
Yeah, because we had some different classes in the Spanish department. She was starting to become a teacher also. Then we had some classes together, and I had her in Facebook. The kid is like 6-7 years old.
Isn't that great, huh?
It's great, yeah.
Getting ready for First Communion.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing, huh?
Beautiful, yeah.
Wow, what a beautiful thing it is. We mentioned, Luis, that you're a native of Colombia and have come here to the United States. You know, for many years out of the Archdiocese of Boston, we had a group called the Missionary Society of St. James that went down into Latin America, and it involved all kinds of priests from the United States, some from England, some from Ireland. It was founded by Cardinal Cushing back in the late 1950s. I look at you and a number of guys who are with us from Asia, from Africa, from Latin America, and I think to myself, the situation is just reversed. You now are the missionaries who are coming to this country and bringing the great gifts that you have to situations like the one that we just talked about, of that young woman who was wondering whether she should keep her child or not. Do you have a sense in your own life that there's something missionary about the work that you're doing?
Yeah, when I was young, I considered that I had a vocation to be a missionary.
Good for you.
And I never think that I was going to be in a missionary country.
Yeah.
Because as Latino, you can find different groups that speak Spanish, but they have different cultures.
Yeah.
It's, for me, it's like a kind of missionary work as a priest.
You know, as I'm listening to you, I'm just amazed at God's providence of how he's been working in your life. I often say to people, vocation in many ways is 20/20 hindsight, that it's later on when you look back at the episodes in your life that you see a certain thread that runs through these experiences that confirms for you, I'm doing exactly what God wanted me to be doing. And the more you're talking with me today, the more I have that sense in your life that God was very, very present there and very near you and was with you in terms of trying to help you come to realize something that he wanted for you in your life. We've talked about this in a number of the podcasts, that as far as God is concerned, something interesting goes on. From the moment that he creates each one of us, and that creation takes place at the moment of conception, once we're created, God plants within us a special call for each of us. He wants each of us one day to be with him in heaven, but he's going to get us there by different ways. And it strikes me that you've already resolved well for yourself the way in which God wants to bring you to heaven. And it's through the ministerial priesthood in the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, I am very grateful with God because I had the talents to serve others. Then I can use it as a priest to serve others. And in especially in this country, as you said, with the different cultures that we have in this country.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're becoming, in many ways, the Hispanic culture is becoming part of the melting pot that the United States is. And it's a very, very beautiful portion of it, you know. Yeah. You, obviously, will let your bishop assign you wherever he thinks you're needed. But in a diocese like Brooklyn, there are many, many cultures there. In fact, it's hard for me to imagine a diocese that would be more multicultural than Brooklyn itself.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They celebrate in 22 different languages.
Mass is celebrated Sundays. Every weekend, every Sunday, in 22 different languages.
Yeah.
How beautiful is that?
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's really, really special. What, you've been here now, well, let me talk about this first. You had a privilege. I know that when it first comes along for you seminarians, the idea of having to do a pastoral year just seems like my seminary program is being lengthened, and who wants to see that? But you did a pastoral year, and for you, as I recall, it was really very successful. It was a very beautiful and good year for you. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's a blessing for me because I didn't have the notions how to live in a parish. Mm-hmm. Because I had only the summer experience, but to live the different liturgical calendars in the parish, it was a blessing to share with the people Christmas, Lent, and it was beautiful to express my gratitude with them, that every culture support me in many ways. Then it was a blessing, not only Latinos, but people from Asia, America. It was beautiful.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. It's a special time. It's a really good time for you, as you say, to get to know what it is to live with a community through the ups and downs of a year and through all the liturgical moments that are involved in that, which is really a very beautiful thing. And you grew in it. I mean, when you came back from that year, when we saw you, it was obvious that it had a great positive effect on you.
Yeah, I grew up in many ways.
Yeah.
Thanks to the support of my pastor and the community.
Yeah.
I grew up in many ways.
Yeah, it's a great and a very, very wonderful thing. So here you are, coming to the end of your formation for priesthood and, please God, ordination to the priesthood. What have been the blessings of your being in a place like this? Was there ever any question about what seminary you would go to, or was it already known that since you were a little older, it would probably be here?
When I was in minor seminary, I heard experiences about this seminary from different seminarians, and I was very interested to know about this place.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God from the Bishop DiMarzio that he gave you the option where you want to go and study.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose this place from the first moment.
Good for you.
Because I consider that this place is for mature people, mm-hmm. and we live like brothers, different to another place that sometimes there you can find envy among the seminarians, but here is a beautiful place to study and grow up as a candidate to priesthood.
Yeah. My experience, I taught for 14 years in the younger seminarians, with younger seminarians, and they're fellows that are in their 20s.
Yeah.
And there really is a certain kind of way in which 20-somethings live, you know, and it's very different. They're coming to adult experiences one by one, and many of them can be challenging. You guys have life experience behind you and come in, and I find that even in teaching with you men, it's a very different experience. Because of your life experience, I can make connections with things in the world, whereas when I was with the younger men, you'd say, you're going to expect something like this, but they really wouldn't understand what you were talking about. But I can see just in your faces as I'm talking with you,
yes,
that it's a very good thing. What have been the blessings for you here? If you were to name one or two things, if someone said to you, what's one of the best things? You've mentioned one already, the kind of fraternity that you older men have with each other. What other kinds of things here do you think are very helpful for you?
For me, when I came here, because I needed to improve my English, mm-hmm, and I found a lot of support from my classmates, and from the formators, mm-hmm, from the rector, from everybody. Mm-hmm. Then it's a way that you can grow up in your vocation, because if you are in another place, it's going to be difficult, because sometimes the language.
Yeah. No, we're very keen on that, and we even consciously talk about ourselves. Do we speak too quickly in class for some of you guys who are really trying to develop an excellence with the English language?
No.
And thank God all of you do. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, I look at you with your English and I say to myself, I'd love to be perfectly bilingual in a number of other languages as well. You have that gift, you know,
thank
to
you
be
so
able
much
to do that, which is really a good thing. What was the most challenging thing, Deacon Luis, that you experienced while you were here?
The same English. Sometimes
English, yeah,
when you have to write a lot of papers for different classes,
yeah,
it has been a challenge for me.
Yeah.
But I always get some help from the professors,
yeah,
that they give you more time,
yeah,
or help you, sit down with you and try,
yeah,
to help you,
yeah,
in many ways.
Yeah.
But the challenge is to write papers, yeah, is very difficult.
Our attitude as faculty here is if a bishop, first of all, if a vocation director has confidence in you, and then a bishop has confidence in you, we're going to have confidence in you too. And so when a man arrives at the seminary, it's our job to get you to priesthood. You know, you've already been vetted very carefully by the diocese, and it's our job to help the bishop get you to priesthood, and that's our job.
I always say that if I was in another seminary, I couldn't make it.
Well,
I am very grateful to be here. I'm going to miss this place so much.
Yeah.
Because
it's another instance of God's providence in your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's very,
yes,
good.
Monsieur.
Well, I'm very grateful to you for sitting down with me today and sharing some of your life with our listeners. And hopefully among those listeners are other men who are contemplating the possibility of a vocation to the priesthood. And to hear your story, along with so many others, is such a help for them to sort through their own ideas. So, Deacon Luis, I'm really grateful for your presence today. And I want to thank our listeners as well. What a wonderful thing it is for you to tune in and to listen to what goes on here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary. It really is a very special place for older candidates to the priesthood, and we're grateful for your support. I want to thank in a special way Jairus Aziz, who's here with us today, making sure that this is all properly recorded and edited, and he's such a blessing for us, and thank you so much, Jairus. God bless you all, and we'll look forward to having you with us for our next podcast. They always come out on the 23rd of the month in honor of Pope St. John the 23rd. God bless you all.
God bless you all.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.